Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're finishing up the House of M event by Brian Michael Bendis, Coypool Townsend, and J.R. Motz. Let's go.
While Alex was doing his introduction, I just started laughing, and I'm sure he was wondering why.
I was.
And it wasn't that it was actually anything hysterically funny, but I heard your introduction is House of M Event. So like M Event.
Just one word.
Is one word. House of M Event.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is... So anyway, so I was just over here.
I said imminent.
Yeah.
Yeah, some word things.
That was it. I mean, not that you podcast listeners hear or saw... What that I was even laughing, but
I saw.
Yeah,
I knew.
House of M event.
Yeah, we are. If you've been following along, covering the House of M event and all its tie-ins. Spoiler.
Did you hear it that time?
Yeah, I did.
House of M event.
I talked too fast. The House of M.
And for those of you listening at double speed, House of M event.
Yeah, we're covering this whole event plus the tie-ins for myself. Spoiler: the tie-ins are just not essential to this story.
Good to know, though.
They are supplementary, and there are some decent comics in there, but they just don't really progress. They're just like little vignettes of what has happened since this big flash of white light and Wanda changed
Got
everything.
It. Was so, there a Captain America one?
Yes.
Okay. That's the only one I think I'd be curious about, because without going too much into it, does it shed any light? Was he ever actually Captain America, or is it literally just he was a captain in the Air Force or whatever it was?
I think if I'm remembering right, asterisk that I read all these at like 2 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't have much of the Captain America. Okay. He was just like in the Air Force, okay. Military stuff.
So that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted.
Right. Just having like a normal life.
Interesting.
I have to go back and forth because I bulk read all of these when I'm doing it, and it starts to cross over. Like for a while, I was thinking that there was like a Wolverine book, yeah. But it was just Logan doing his thing in the main run of House of M. So I'm
got it.
Crossing over things.
Cool.
And as we'll see in these issues, there's a lot of like little focus moments on like things happening to individual characters with little Layla Miller.
Anyway, I thought it was Rose. Oh, maybe that was her last middle name. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. Thank you for those of you who have come back. We missed a week because we had ice and snow and we just couldn't make it work. And also, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I remember now. Last episode where we talked about House of M, we completely neglected to do What You've Been Reading, Yo. Not that I have much to add, because I've just been reading a bunch of books, and I don't even remember the names of them, though I do remember one of them. But Alex.
Yes.
What you been reading, yo?
I have read the latest Tom King Human Target
is
Greg
it over?
Smallwood. There's one left.
One left.
But.
I saw the buzz
all
line.
All that's left.
Yeah, is the dying.
Is the dying. So we know who done it.
I don't.
I do.
I know.
It's really good. It's
so good.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a way that we can cover. We covered some of that, right? First six issues.
Yeah, we've done the first half.
I imagine we'll come back to that relatively soon.
Once it's out, I see no reason not to.
It is strong. to follow up on that,
because I'm curious.
You should be. It gets even better than the first six. Like it finishes really strong. Well, I don't know the exact end. I think next week, maybe the week after, we'll get the final issue. We'll talk about this a little bit. If you noticed last week, we split up our Alex and Drew Rank the MCU into a separate podcast for now. We're kind of trying that out and seeing what it feels like. We feel like there's a little bit of a split in what everybody's interested in. So we're experimenting a little bit. But when we get to that episode, we might discuss that Tom King might also be involved in some movie projects moving forward, which I am very excited about. So if you want to check out what we're talking about there, make sure you tune in for that episode where we'll be talking about Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yep.
Drew, where can they find us on social media before we get started?
Oh, yes. You can find us at Two Man Comic Book on Twitter, Two Man Comic Book Club, everywhere else. That's with the number two. Check the show notes to find a link to our Discord where you can talk to us and follow along whenever we're watching these movies or just talking about random happenings like video games. And
moving pictures.
Shoot us an email if you want to request something to talk about or sponsor Gurgle/internet movie database breaks. You can email us at twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com, also with a number two. Did I miss anything?
You need to leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you really love us. That really goes a long way. If you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it on the podcast. I believe you can also leave reviews on Spotify.
I've never figured out how to find those.
Somewhere in there.
So maybe it's because nobody's done it.
Also, you can find me anywhere on the internet at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman.
You can find me or ways to reach out to me at www.drewmorrismusic.com.
That's it. Speaking of Bruce Wayne, I introduced my son to the Christopher Nolan Batman films this last weekend. We watched the first two. Mm-hmm. We didn't have time to get the third one in. He was a big fan. I almost had to put him down because he hadn't seen them before. I'd rather just show him the movies.
That's probably better.
Man, those hold up really well.
Yeah, I watched those not too long ago, a couple weekends. I was just like, I just feel like watching those. And that was whenever, for some reason, either I lost power or we lost internet. Mm-hmm. So I just streamed it through my iPad using my mobile hotspot through Hulu.
Yeah.
I watched the last two movies.
Yeah, they're strong. Mm-hmm. Really good. Cool. You got anything else before we jump into these issues?
You didn't ask me what I've been reading,
Oh, yeah. I assumed that it was all the books you were talking about. What you been reading, yo?
Just the books I've been talking about. All right, let's move on. Even though I hadn't been reading it, I finally watched the Netflix Sandman series at Colby's insistence. Apparently, he's watched it twice. I read the original trade paperback of that a long time ago, and I've got to tell you, I didn't remember a single thing as I was watching this.
Yeah,
but it was really cool to see the references to other DC TV properties, like mentions of Constantine and like his world, though in this version, it's Joanna Constantine,
right?
Played by a girl that was on Doctor Who. Big fan of her role there. Also, the Lucifer show with Lucifer and
it ties into
Mazikeen.
This.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same. Mm-hmm. Different characters, different everything.
Right.
But the names, like I'm assuming that it was like referencing those, or there's just lore with who Lucifer's number two is and Constantine and his friends or her friends in like the world. So, but anyway, I enjoyed it. It did get interesting. It got weird. But I guess there's another season coming. And I was just going to cancel Netflix once I finished Sandman. So I don't know. Maybe I'll wait. Or I'll just cancel it and get it back whenever the final Stranger Things and Sandman comes back out. But it was good. I think if you like comic books, you like different reality type things. Mm-hmm. It was really, I enjoyed it.
I like that you came at me for not asking you and then you told me you've been watching Netflix.
Yeah.
I was excited to hear comic books. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I mean,
I've only watched the first episode of that, so I don't have a maybe I've watched the first two.
Yeah,
maybe I want to go back and watch it. I just haven't yet for whatever reason. I've been watching The Last of Us.
Oh yeah, Holly and I are just waiting until that's all out, and we'll just binge it.
Yeah,
because I played that video game when I bought my PlayStation 3 with the package that came with The Last of Us.
Nice.
So.
There's a second one of those out, right?
I think so. I didn't bother to get it because I think you have to have a PS4 or PS5 for that, and I didn't do that.
Well.
Anyway, so that's what I've been reading, yo.
Sweet.
The answer was nothing.
The answer was Netflix, yes. Which they would love. Netflix, if you're listening and you would like to sponsor this podcast, hit me up. Let's get into some House of M.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I got to ask.
Okay.
I got to shoot my shot.
What is it? Who is it? Oh, it's the IT crowd. Space Star Ordering System. Like, there's this the Matt Berry. Do you know that actor? He plays the boss of this thing, and he's just like, I just joined the Space Star Ordering System where you just request what you want, and then it comes into the world. I thought that was a pretty good Matt Berry, actually. He was just like this morning, I wrote that I wanted a robot hand, and now, and he like something happened, and his hand got infected, so he had to chop it. I was like, I'm one step closer.
That's funny.
Anyway, so you have to write it on a piece of paper and then throw it away.
Throw it in the world, yeah.
So we need to write after this Netflix podcast. Netflix sponsorship and throw it away.
Yeah, which is what they would do if I mailed them the same thing.
Yeah, throw it away. You wasted a stamp.
So Drew is going to walk us through. He has some notes for House of M issues 5 through 8, 5, 6, 7, and 8. This wraps up the entire event, so I'm going to supplement things here and there, but Drew, take it away.
Okay, so I'm going to be reading off this thing and trying something new, reading off of a little bit of a script that I prepared in hopes of being concise. So here is issue 5. Do you want to remind us who wrote this thing?
Let me get in here to the full page. So the writer is Brian Michael Bendis, one of the goats. Brickle Bendis. Pencils by Olivier Coipel.
I wonder if that's Olivier.
Olivier. That sounds way better.
Olivier Coipe.
Coipe. Is it all French?
That was a joke. Probably offensive joke. I'm sorry if you're French.
The OC is who's penciled it. Inker, Tim Townsend. Colorist, Frank D'Armata. Letters by Chris Eliopoulos. And then we have covers by Asad Rivich.
That explains it. I remember we were looking at it because I saw that whenever I was making the notes. We wondered if this was Alex Ross. But no, that's totally... That's the guy that did Thor.
Yes, Thor and also... Am I wrong?
Eternals?
Eternals,
Some Eternals, I think. Yeah. Maybe.
Now that I'm looking at this.
Yeah.
We probably really offended some people with that. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
That's the creative team.
Okay. All right. So issue 5. What happened right before we... Basically, here's Emma a 60-second catch up. Like, things got weird. time was rewritten. People forgot things and woke up in a different reality. I kept alluding to calling it, it was kind of like Flashpoint, but this actually happened before Flashpoint. So like Peter Parker woke up, he wasn't married to Mary Jane, he was married to Gwen Stacy. Captain America was not Captain America, he was an old dude.
Logan worked for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
Emma Frost and Scott Summers were married and not doing mutant things.
Yep, and there was no Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. And Magneto... was basically the royalty that ruled the world, Eric Magnus, the House of Magnus. At one point, we realized Wolverine remembered the old world.
Yes.
And he comes across the underground of like Luke Cage, Iron Fist, a bunch of sapiens, Cloak. Homo sapiens that are living underworld because the mutants run everything. And
the sapiens are the, like they're dying out like humans are.
And we meet a little girl named Layla who can remind you of your old world. So whenever we finished, Layla had just woken up Emma Frost.
Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how she was going to kill Magneto.
So we literally pick up a split second later in a visualization of Layla's brain.
Yes.
Okay.
With Emma inside it.
Yep. And we get an explainer from Frost that Layla has the power to dig up their memories from the real timeline, and Frost wants to use it to wake up a ton of heroes. Then Cyclops, aka Scott Summers, gets home, and before he has a chance to do anything, Emma and Layla team up to give Scott his memories back, and then he throws up.
Yeah.
Scott's first thought is, how could Magneto have done this? And then quickly followed by, we have to find Xavier. So then Wolverine / James / Logan, whatever you call him in this world, he tells him he's been looking but hasn't been able to find him. So Scott asks, who can we find? And then the very next page, we see a very early 2000s representation of Peter Parker with a buzz cut.
Did this bother you?
Yeah.
This, if so, okay. I don't care who you are, unless you're like, I've memorized comic panels from, if I showed somebody just that panel without the text and said, who is this?
Oh, no, it would not be Peter Parker.
No, he almost looks like a different race.
What's that, the actor that was on 21 Jump Street?
Dude, I thought the same thing. It's Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum, yeah.
It looks like a darker skinned Channing Tatum. His mm-hmm. ears pierced. He's yeah. like bulky kind of, yeah, like built. Yeah. Like he's not like a scrawny Spider-Man mm-hmm. that's like athletic and lean. He looks completely, it was like, have you ever seen Spider-Man before? Don't draw whatever you yeah. think he is. So,
pretty
weird interpretation of the yeah. character by the artist here.
So we open up and we see Peter Parker and his kid. And his wife, who is Gwen Stacy, and his Aunt May and Uncle Ben, two of which should be dead.
Yes.
Peter is confronted by an ominous line of Wolverine, Emma Frost, Layla, Hawkeye, Scott Summers, Cloak, and a couple others. And then Emma quickly apologizes before forcing his memories back on him. Unlike Summers, where it just happened, with Peter, we get flashes from his past life. His enemies marrying Mary Jane Watson, Gwen falling from the bridge, his aunt. And then he comes back to reality and starts losing it. Then he looks and sees Gwen and remembers her neck snapping. And then he sees Aunt and then Uncle and remembers his Uncle Ben dying and is like just overloaded. He zips away Spidey style. Gwen confronts this group of people and Emma just basically pops into her head and just makes her forget for a second what's going on. Just
go
like,
play in the park.
Go play in the park. And then Wolverine chases after Peter Parker. Then he manages to catch up with him up on a rooftop somewhere, just like huddled in the fetal position. And after a heated discussion, Peter basically says that he's going to kill Magneto and his daughter. Yes. And Wolverine says, you won't get the chance. I'll have done it already. And then we turn the page and kind of have a quick session of basically a montage. Talk about a montage scene where Emma and Layla have gone around to wake up a bunch of people. So we wake up Kitty Pryde, Stephen Strange, Carol Danvers, Tony Stark, Matt Murdock, who is with Jennifer Walters.
Wakes up both of them, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Steve Rogers. They go to him, and it almost looks for a second that they're going to give him a pass since he's old. But then at the last second, it looks like Emma re-memory-ized him.
Mm-hmm.
That's my term for this. Re-memory-izing. You should see my notes. That's actually what it says. So then later, all the heroes that have been re-memorized are hiding around in like a rundown dark office discussing mm-hmm. whether or not to give Hawkeye back his memories since he should be dead. And that's whenever the Red Army, Red Guard, I can't remember what they were called them.
Yeah,
I think essentially S.H.I.E.L.D., but yeah. they look different.
It's like Logan's team that he ran the S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. with like Toad, Mystique, Nightcrawler, Rogue, and Jessica Drew.
Yep. So they all pop in, and there's a bit of a super scuffle. And then Emma's just like, why are we doing this? Rememorizing. And so then everybody's back on the same page. When the dust settles, they realize that Hawkeye is gone. And then they resolve that, okay, we got to go to Magneto right away.
Yeah. There's a good moment here when Mystique gets her memory back.
Yeah,
she looks up and Logan, who she's been in a relationship with during this whole time. So when they rememorize,
it's hard to say. Easier to type than it is to say.
They have both the old memories and their new memories. Like they're sitting on top of each other, conflicting each other. So she remembers and she's looking up at him and she just slaps him really hard and it breaks her hand.
Yeah,
and she's just like so mad that she was in a relationship with Logan.
Yeah. So that scene fades. We turn the page and kind of like the last, unless there's anything you wanted to talk to about this.
I don't think so. I just had a thought though.
Yeah.
It is interesting. This is, I guess, I'll wait. Remind me about Logan and Mystique once we get a little further into these.
Okay. I'm going to forget that.
Like what's actually happening.
Hey, listeners, remind Alex once we get a little bit farther into this about the Logan and Mystique thing he wanted to say, because I won't remember. So anyway, we turn the page and we end up in Genosha and Lorna, who is Magneto's daughter, the green haired one.
I believe, never mind. I just thought of my trivia question.
Okay. He comes to, or Lorna comes to tell Magneto that the guests, including a little name drop of Victor Von Doom, will be arriving soon for his big day. Mm-hmm. And when she walks away, we get the reveal that Magneto was standing in front of a rock with a plaque reading, Xavier Memorial Garden. He died so Genosha could live. Bum, bum, bum.
End of issue 5.
Yep.
What'd you think of this one?
I felt like this whole issue mm-hmm. could have practically been a montage if this was a movie. But it
would have been.
We got what we needed, you know, waking up the people. Yeah, rememorizing them.
Mm-hmm. So most, not all of the team, like they never, not every Avenger and mutant is represented here, but mm-hmm. a big enough team to maybe they can go do something now.
Yep. So we move to issue 6 and we open on a S.H.I.E.L.D. house. Wait, what? S.H.I.E.L.D. house of, oh, got it. I see. My hyphen, or my forward slash was confusing. We open on a S.H.I.E.L.D. / House of Magnus helicarrier.
Harrier.
That's easy for me to say. Pulling a Trojan horse to get all of the heroes in using Emma Frost's powers to cloak them. So we just see them walking across the thing.
Yeah.
And people are just going out about their business because nobody can see them.
You know, we get a good sense in these final issues of just how powerful Emma Frost is.
Yeah. Is she Omega level?
Let's Google it.
Hey, so we, a couple episodes ago, tossed out the idea of Gurgle Break sponsorships, and we got our first one. So while Alex is gurgling, let me tell you a little bit about our first Gurgle sponsor, Backlog Busters, a YouTube channel by a friend of ours, Jared, who is going through playing all of the video games that he missed as a kid, making videos about them, and letting you know if they're still worth playing in the year 2022. Oh, it's 3 now, 2023. I've actually gone through and watched all of his episodes. He plays things like, some Super Mario stuff, more less known ones. I watched one about D&D's Baldur's Gate. Dark Alliance.
Escape recently. He did an old Hobbit game.
A really cool Diddy Kong Racing one that the algorithm seemed to pick up a little bit.
I will say that I was watching one where he did this obscure game called Unpacked.
Yeah, Unpacking,
I thought. Unpacking.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, what is this? And it's essentially like a life simulator. Uh-huh. You're just like unpacking after a move from different moments in your character's life. I bought it. It was like $7 or something at the time. It was super cheap on Nintendo Switch, and showed it to Katie because she's a big like sim player, Animal Crossing and stuff, and she loved it. She's like played it like 3 or 4 times at this point, like all the way through. And there's something about it. It's like super relaxing and chill, and just kind of like mindlessly. It's just a chill game, and it just works, whatever it is. But without Jared's channel, I would have never ever heard of that game even. And it was like, He finds some good picks from his past, but also some stuff that's a little more modern too. Like he kind of mixes it up, and he does take into consideration what people are requesting.
So drop down to our show notes. We'll have a link to his YouTube page. Definitely check it out. And if you have any ideas on games that you would like him to play, reach out to him.
Check out Backlog Busters.
So what did you find on your Gurgle Break?
So while both Emma Frost and Professor X have been called Omega level telepaths, in the comics, they are not the same as Omega level mutants.
Okay.
And neither of them are. But they are at the highest level of telepaths without going into Omega level mutant. I think below. There are two others that are.
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey and I just had his name. What is it? His name's Quentin Quire.
Okay. Cool.
He's a much more involved in the recent X-Men stuff.
I've always thought it's so wild that Xavier is not an Omega level mutant.
Right.
Imagine if he was.
Yeah, there's some surprising ones. We should go over that list sometime.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on.
She's super powerful. She's flexing her powers a lot in this episode. Or cool. In these issues.
So, once we're on the helicarrier, we kind of get a quick onslaught of speech bubbles, kind of just name-dropping some people that we haven't seen, but they just want to kind of give tabs. I'm just going to, like, we see something. They mentioned Natasha Romanoff. Yep. They mentioned Wakanda, Latveria, Shaw, the Brood. Mm-hmm. couple other
weapon
things.
Weapon is a C-15. What is a C?
I thought that was 100. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Weapon 70 then?
Who knows?
Yeah, there's something in the Weapon X program. Let us know what XXXC is in Roman numerals.
Cool. And then Emma basically takes over the captain's mind and sets a course to Genosha.
Yeah.
And like, yes, sir. She is essentially the captain.
I am the captain now.
So once we are in... Did she really?
No.
Okay. I was like, I didn't remember that. And then we see ourselves over Genosha, and we see an honor guard lined up as Doom arrives and takes pictures with Magneto, and he is like unscarred.
Yeah.
Baby-faced and everything, but he's still wearing the green cloak and stuff.
Did you notice his belt?
No. What is it? Is that just a plus? What? Oh, is
it's
that?
It's a four.
It's a four.
Yeah.
Whoa. So what does that mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about. So Doom's belt has the Fantastic Four, iconic four around it.
So does that mean this world has a Fantastic Four? It's just led by Doom?
Maybe, because we know that Reed and
Sue they died. Interesting.
Well, I believe he also has the Thing as a pet.
Okay.
In this world.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's troublesome.
It's pretty dark.
All right, so back with the heroes who are cloaked inside the cafeteria of the helicarrier. They have a pretty intense discussion over the battle plan and whether they should really change anything at all. Basically from Jessica Drew, who says, we all got what we wanted, didn't we? But essentially nothing is really done with that. And Cyclops continues with his original flow, talking about, all right, we have three teams. And then somebody asks why we have three teams. And then we get a little explainer. Team One's primary goal is to find Xavier and get Layla and Emma in front of him. Team Two is basically Doctor Strange getting through to Wanda because he's had experience with that in the past. And then somebody's like, well, what does everybody else do? And he just says, keep the House of Magnus occupied. So, and by the way, intermixed with all of those talking points about the plan, we have one quick shot of one of the guards named Fantasia. Do you know who that is?
I do not.
Okay. She just kind of was like, senses something. And then the introduction of our honored guests. We have King T'Challa of Wakanda, King of Latveria, Victor Von Doom, Princess Aurora of Kenya, and King Namor of the Kingdom of Atlantis.
We also got Genis Vell from the Kree Empire up here at the top.
I didn't see that.
Wearing his like Nova-like.
Nice.
So it's Captain Mar-Vell.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool. Then finally, the introduction of the royal family, the House of Magnus, Magneto or Eric Magnus sitting on the throne, surrounded by his two daughters, Lorna and Wanda, the human one, which they kept talking about in the last time, his son Pietro, and then two sons who we assume to be Wiccan and Speed.
Is this the first time we've seen Wanda in this world?
I think so. I mean, it may have been in like a news blurb or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about her a lot, saying that in this world, she's human.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of a big reveal here.
Yeah.
Also, I really like this art.
Yeah. Then we see Fantasia, that guard that simply saying, uh-oh. And then a second later, a rogue sentinel seems to be zooming towards the royal family. But Magneto stops it pretty easily, and we get kind of a two-page spread of everyone attacking. And
Did they send this down? What is this? This was slightly confusing to me. Like,
I felt like it was just like the first warning blow. Like they're like, he's going to be able to stop this, but we want to stop things. So they just
programmed a sentinel to be like it used to be, or I guess it's not attacking them. So
I actually just thought that somebody who was super strong just
threw a sentinel down.
Or like they just got it controlled, jerry-rigged it, or whatever.
Cool. Okay. Maybe I was just thinking about it too much.
But I mean, its boots are activated, so somehow it got triggered.
Yeah, it's programmed to go after them.
And there's probably any number of somebody.
She-Hulk probably threw it.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Or She-Hulk and Carol Danvers.
Yeah. So then, where was I? Then we get a two-page spread of everyone attacking. Well, everyone who's in the keep everyone busy team. So we get a diversion battle between the honored guests and the assault force, but we don't see much of that. Instead, we cut over to Cloak, who has just dropped Emma and Layla in front of what they learned to be Xavier's memorial garden, and then they realize he's not there. No body, no coffin. And that's how the issue ends.
Except just wondering like goes
what
down
to go
there.
Next. Yeah.
I thought,
I didn't catch that. He actually
that
literally went
hard.
Down there. Yeah.
Like he's just like, I'm going to go see if his body's actually down there. So he cloaks down to where the grave would be. And it's like,
yeah,
nobody's there. What if he was there? And you're just like, yep, there he is. His dead corpse.
Found a body.
Yep.
So yeah, that's where it ends. And you have anything about that one?
No, it's a. It feels like it also like maybe they could have consolidated the last two issues, like yeah. montage to wake everybody up. And then we finally made the first attack on Genosha. Mm-hmm. It is cool to see royal figures that still maintain. But also I think the most interesting one was like Storm. She's in the comics before this. I believe before this she had married T'Challa.
Yeah.
And was the queen of Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's the prince of...
Princess of Kenya.
Princess of Kenya. Yeah. So interesting takes on those characters. But yeah, it's good. It's solid.
It's good.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll take a quick break, whet our whistles, and then come back with the last two issues.
Indeed. And we're back and we're going to carry on with issues 7 and 8.
All right. So issue 7 starts with an epic battle scene from the assault team. Magneto calls Pietro to get Wanda away because remember she's human. But as Pietro picks her up to zoom her out, she starts like degrading into cubes, which if you've been reading, you've seen mimicked on the cover mm-hmm. art and stuff. And to me, it looks kind of like, you know, voxels, 3D versions mm-hmm. of pixels.
Yeah.
It basically looks like she's breaking down into voxels.
Yeah.
And then like evaporating and Pietro screams, "What have you done to my sister? Why are you attacking my family?" Sorry, I just burped. Mm. And then Strange sees this happen and he's like, oh, okay. Because his job was to try to connect with Wanda. And he's like, that's not
like
Wanda.
Through the astral plane. Yeah.
And then he zips off in search of the real Wanda. And he eventually finds her in a tower bedroom. And when she sees him, she just simply says, Dr. Strange. Like, mm-hmm. so something, she never had her memory
right.
reset. So like, whatever happened, you know, it's just like she remembers everything as it was, apparently. Mm-hmm. And they have a seemingly pleasant conversation.
Yeah. She's like talking about how it's good to see him.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And she's just playing with her kids in this tower, too,
mm-hmm.
who I guess were also doppelgangers down there.
But if you know what Wanda's capable of doing, that's obviously within her wheelhouse.
Yes.
So basically, through the conversation, Wanda's saying that this was all supposed to be so that the fighting would stop. So we could all be happy. And an interesting tidbit was that Wanda had no idea who Layla was, which was kind of interesting to me. Like,
right.
What was Layla?
They also reveal here that Wanda created her. Doctor Strange kind of says that in passing. He was like, you created her. And in my mind, he's like basically insinuating that she created her as like a subconscious safety net.
Okay, so her subconscious, isn't it?
Right.
Maybe knowing, like, I think we kind of talked about in the last episode that Layla was kind of the thing in the Matrix. You know, you had the Oracle, you had the Keymaster, you have the other right. programs mm-hmm. that just keep things going.
Right.
And this would have been after the Matrix, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So anyway. She seems unaware of what's happening outside at all with mm-hmm. all the fighting. She's aloof even. Then we get a flashback where she kind of lets us know what happened in those quick moments during the Avenger X-Men meeting in book one,
mm-hmm.
Where we only saw them up to the conversation between Pietro and Magneto.
Yeah.
But we learned that Pietro and Wanda had a conversation when we thought she was asleep. Talking about how much they loved being Avengers, how they loved being heroes, and how it was only a matter of time until she was killed because of what mm-hmm. happened. And Pietro poses a new idea. He's like, what if it didn't have to happen that way? What if you could change things? What if everyone could just be happy? And he talks about combining her mind with Xavier's to pull it off. I don't know what really came about that. I don't know if we ever actually saw or if it's just something off screen. And then he says, why would you be given all this power if not for this reason? And
right.
then we see Strange's realization that it wasn't Magneto that caused all this to happen.
Yes. It was Pietro.
Yeah. So,
which is the big twist of this, because we've thought that this was another ploy for, because it stands, right? And so this is one of the things I remember now, go back to my Logan. Mm-hmm. So Wanda using Magneto's insight into everybody that she's just able to like use her reality powers to gain access to, figured out what everybody wanted to make them the most happy. So for Magneto, him ruling everything and mutants being the dominant species on the planet and humans being near extinction level happens, right? Mm-hmm. But then the interesting thing earlier is that if that's true and everybody got what they wanted, both Wolverine and Mystique had to secretly be interested in being with each other, which is interesting that she slaps him for that. It's almost like she's saving face, like she doesn't want him to think that that was it. So it's an interesting like dynamic to think about, because there's times in the history where they've kind of had some romantic things, but that they actually, in their subconscious, are like, yeah, if we could pick, we'd be together.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a big twist. Pietro, it's his fault.
Yeah.
Not Magneto.
And it's funny, as I was rereading this to make my notes, I'd even forgotten that. So I got that revealed twice. So then Dr. Strange reaches out to Emma, who tells him to ask where Xavier is. But as he's asking the question, we see that familiar chuck, onomatopoeia or whatever it's called, sound again. And Wanda falls over with a purple arrow in her back.
Ooh.
Then we're back in the Xavier Memorial Garden, where it looks like Magneto has found them, asking them what they've done to his family. And then Layla and Emma re-memorize him. But before we can react to that, we see Hawkeye standing over Wanda's body. Well, she's still alive.
Yeah.
Saying that even if he couldn't kill her, maybe he could snap her out of it.
Right.
And in all the yelling, we see the Wicked starts glowing and just yells, "Shut up!" And then Hawkeye breaks into all those cubes, voxels, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Just as the scene did earlier from the human Wanda.
And there's kind of a metaphorical light candle blowing out whenever he breaks apart there.
Oh, yeah. And then
killed him again.
He breaks into tears, saying he didn't mean to. Wanda starts crying, saying that she can't control it all and to watch out for Pietro, because you know, it literally, when she says watch out for Pietro, we see that happens in one page, kind of similar to that Hawkeye episode or the Hawkeye issue, where the time between him pulling back the bow and hitting, you see things slowed down in time, and we see Pietro zip around, just like knocking out all the heroes, one by one.
Super speed's a pretty good power.
Yeah, it really is. where was I? I lost it. Okay.
But then we have at the end of that sequence, somebody screams, "This ends."
I'm assuming it's Magneto, because on the next page, we have a showdown between Magneto and Pietro. And Magneto saying, "You've destroyed everything and everyone, and you used my name to do it," all while hurling these giant chunks of that broken sentinel at Pietro. And just as it seems Magneto's about to kill him, Wanda's tower explodes and she comes flying out. And Pietro, and from this point forward, Pietro and Magneto look so similar, I have a hard time knowing who is who. So, like, is that one floating there? Which is that Magneto?
That.
Or is that Pietro?
Is Magneto, I believe, based on the shirt here.
Okay, so Pietro's on the ground, crumpled.
Pietro's on the ground,
Wanda's seemingly dead.
Magneto.
Okay.
Pietro's on the ground, seemingly dead.
Yeah, so.
But she quickly brings him back with her powers.
Okay, yeah. Right, so then Wanda lands on the ground holding Pietro in her arms. And I think she's saying, like, "Look what you've done to us, Daddy. Pietro was right. You ruined us before we even had a chance. Why would you treat your own children this way? Because you actually think you're better than everyone else. The arrogance of you. You think because we're mutants, we're better than them, that we truly deserve to rule. That's what you wanted, and that's what I gave you. But look what it became. Even when you get what you want, you're still this horrible man. We're not the next step. We're not gods. We're freaks, mutants. You chose this over us and you ruined us." And then quietly, like, she says, "Daddy." And then it cuts to Emma Frost, who just says, "Oh no."
Because she's reading her mind during all this.
And then Wanda says something that I didn't expect the first time I was reading. Yeah. Big spoiler here if you haven't read. "No more mutants."
Yeah. Now, we're going to pause right there.
Yeah.
This top panel is one of the most iconic panels in Marvel history right here.
Really?
This screenshot of just a half face of Wanda with a big tear running down her face mm-hmm. into her lip as she says, "No more mutants." Very iconic. And you remember, she's a reality warping mutant herself. And she says, "No more mutants."
Then there's this flurry of activity as white, pink, purple energy radiates across every panel. Doctor Strange throws his hands up in a gesture seemingly trying to stop it or at least dampen it. And then we zoom out and see the energy radiating all around Genosha. Then that familiar white gold light shines across like we saw in that first or second issue and across the entire last page. And then it says, "To be concluded." Yeah.
Chills, right?
Yeah.
I got a little bit there and I read this several times. Definitely one of the more iconic endings to a comic. It's not over with the series. We got one more.
Yeah. Kind of like, you know, the thing, like it all happened with Human Target. Everything's done.
Yeah.
All that's left is the dying. So now all that's left is seeing what happens next.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go on with that right now.
So issue 8.
The final one.
Yeah. Starts with a quite simple panel of some skylines. What looks like Avengers Tower, the X-Mansion, I think. And is that Baxter Building?
I think so. We're just kind of like, I think more just showing like normalcy New York for sure.
Yeah. Then we see Layla waking up in a room surrounded by superhero posters, obviously confused. And like, "Layla, wake up," from her mom. Then we see Peter Parker waking up with Mary Jane.
More like Peter.
Yeah. Mary Jane is there drinking coffee next to the bed. And then the next scene, apparently Peter Parker lives in Avengers Tower.
It's different, right? If you're following along, it's not Gwen Stacy anymore.
Yep.
Now he's with Mary Jane. And also she's drinking out of what looks like a Simpsons coffee cup.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's relevant or something, but might just be like a deep cut. Maybe one of them is a Simpsons fan, or maybe she's done voices on Simpsons because she's supposed to be, I don't know, who knows?
It's an interesting, like the scene would have been fine without it.
Yeah.
The artist put that in there.
Yeah. The next scene, we see a bunch of heroes in Avengers Tower comparing notes. Just to name a few, I see Peter, Luke Cage, She-Hulk, Miss Marvel, Falcon, Spider-Woman, Iron Man. One of them says, "One minute we're fighting in Genosha, and then the next, I'm just tucked in bed." But a few of them seem to not even realize anything is weird. Like, Iron Man doesn't seem to remember it. Mm-hmm. Sentry, is that that dude's name?
Yep.
Sentry doesn't remember. Miss Marvel says, "Everything seems to be back to normal now, right?" And then like a mangled, bedraggled Doctor Strange slumps in and just says, "Not quite." Is his body smoking when he comes in? No, it's just he's all beat up.
He just looks like he came from the fight.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of indicating when he was throwing up his hand, his magic gang signs, that he teleported to something to where he could at least survive whatever was about to happen.
Then we see Emma Frost waking up outside Xavier Mansion.
She looks rough.
Yeah, and we see that a bunch of students have seemingly lost their powers. Kitty Pryde keeps repeating, "No more mutants." She said, "No more mutants." Mm-hmm. And it seems that the ones that were in Genosha still have their powers. Maybe some others, but the kids don't. Then Nightcrawler, they look up and they're like, "Where's Wolverine? If he lost his powers with that adamantium in him," and Nightcrawler just bamfs out of there all over the mansion looking for him. And then he sees him passed out in front of the X-Jet and it zooms in on Wolverine, who says, "I remember my whole life. I remember all of it," which is strange because that's what he wanted. And I guess he got to keep that.
Also, I also interpret that as he remembers everything that happened, like, and just 616 before.
Yeah, yeah.
So like
the stuff that he'd always been.
I don't know how that works. Like if he, so obviously he didn't lose his powers. He's still alive. Mm-hmm. But did he like also gain some extra something from this?
Maybe it's just because he had it all from the new Wanda world.
Right.
And he just got, everybody is still the same person they were if they were in Doctor Strange range.
Right.
Doctor Strange range. Emma goes to Cerebro, and she's looking. By the way, if you don't know much, Cerebro is just basically a thing that gives you can tap into mutants all over the world. Mm-hmm. And there should have been millions of mutants, and now there's just like seemingly a few blips around. Seems mutants all over the world have lost their powers, and Wanda seems to be nowhere to be found. Same for Xavier. Then we get news reports from all over as people seem to be realizing that almost all of the mutants have lost their powers.
This was a tough scene right here.
Yeah,
Bobby Iceman. Drake walks out and he's like sweating like crazy. Like he's so hot because he's used to being freezing cold.
Yeah. Then we jump to Avengers Towers, and the heroes are there trying to figure out what to do. They're watching news reports. Mm-hmm. Captain America and Iron Man don't seem to remember anything. And apparently only those protected by Emma Frost and Strange have any let me try reading that sentence again. Only those protected by Emma Frost and Doctor Strange at the event remember both timelines. Peter Parker begs to have the other memory wiped away. That sounds familiar.
Yes.
And Strange just says it doesn't work that way. It's funny how reading this one event has like put so many things from the MCU in a different light for me.
For sure.
Then someone triggers an alarm. What's that? Jarvis, the butler, comes in. He's like,
"Yeah,
there's someone at the mansion." I just assume it sounds like that. Mm-hmm. And then we go to the burned out wreckage of Avengers Mansion. Is that where like the Wanda thing actually happened?
Yes, this is where it happened before.
Got it.
The events of House of M.
And we see a purple arrow pinning up a Hawkeye uniform. And Carol Danvers asks, what does this mean? But Captain America is just smiling. So we're thinking maybe whenever Wanda reset this, like in the back of her mind, she was also like, let's bring Hawkeye back.
Right.
Wonder who else might have been brought back as well. Then we're back in the ruins of Genosha, followed by a miserable Magneto who can't even lift a fork with his powers, it seems. And the X-Men descend upon him, asking where Wanda is. He doesn't know anything, and eventually they fly off, leaving him crumpled in the ruins of to live out his sapien life, is what they say.
Yes.
So I guess in addition to bringing Hawkeye back, Wanda's just like, yeah, Magneto, daddy, you're just going to be a Humie.
Yeah.
Then as a bit of an epilogue, I mean, it doesn't really say epilogue, but I feel it that way. We see someone, I assume to be Wanda, wandering in a red hood, wandering through a crowded marketplace in some unknown corner of Europe, I think, as the camera is pulling back with every panel. And we hear a voiceover of a doctor on some news program, and it says, essentially, we don't know what happened. The natural order has been altered. Existence has changed. And think about all the energy fields that just disappeared from the planet. Where did they go? And then we see a full shot of the globe and final lines of the voiceover reading, it's Sir Isaac Newton's third law of physics. Everyone knows it. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So I'm asking, what will be the reaction? And on this planet, on the panel, we see this brilliant red energy explosion that's either in the atmosphere or the orbit of Earth, it almost looks like.
Yeah.
And then the end. So my first thought, as soon as I saw that, was Phoenix.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to spoil too much in case we come back to it. And you can spoil it if you want to. And by the way, my trivia question is a spoiler about that. And by the way, it also made me think, whenever he's like, the third law of Isaac Newton's third law, I wasn't thinking the third law. I don't remember which one it is. But that whole energy can't be created or destroyed.
Right.
I thought he was going to go with that one, but no. Maybe everybody else's head went there too, and they're like, sure. No, I'm going to zag when you think I'm going to zig. And it's just like, no, what's the reaction going to be?
Yeah. Great ending to this.
Yeah. It did instantly make me like, as soon as I finished, I think I texted you, was like, what was that? Mm-hmm. Is that the Phoenix? Is that something else? Is that another mutant explosion? And like explosion of mutants.
So everybody should know, this is main continuity 616 Marvel Comics. Mm-hmm. Things stay like this for a while.
Yeah, in I the think comics. That's another thing I think I texted you. Like, how long? What happens with the mutants?
Like several years. They're like all but gone. Like the few that kept their powers that were on the team, which is not many. But
so we're kind of riding the ship back to OG X-Men, but without Xavier,
right?
Seemingly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the new status quo for. Yeah.
And this was like 2005, 2006, somewhere in there.
I think. Mm-hmm, right, so, after Civil War.
I feel like, because, yeah, there were definitely X-Men happening. Okay, because then in about 7 years, we have Secret Wars, which changes everything back.
Right.
But X-Men do exist somewhere in the time between there. I don't know that I would bother to go through and read all that since everything's been rebooted multiple times since then, but it does make me curious.
Yeah. There's some stuff in there worth reading we might cover sometime.
Yeah. So
what did you think overall of the whole story?
It was good. Like, I remember whenever I first saw the title House of M, I assumed it was just straight up House of Magneto.
Right.
And then whenever I saw a picture of Wanda, like, as Scarlet Witch, like, breaking apart into pieces, I thought it meant House of Maximoff.
Yeah.
You know, like, all these different things. And then it turns out I was kind of right with both.
Right.
But it was House of Magnus.
Yeah. It's a nice kick that...
Yeah.
It was Pietro, you know, and not Magnus or Magneto, just because some the outcome was kind of the same for Magneto no matter what. But just that he, it's interesting character development, I think, at the end, like him being so furious at Pietro that in his name, like it shows some humanity still, like that he would have not gone about things that way.
Yeah. But that was good. Like, it was definitely like, man, how have I avoided this one for so long?
Yeah.
And thank you for starting this podcast with me, Alex. but no, it was good.
You're welcome.
Definitely go check it out. Like, we left a bunch on the table because we were trying to not spend 17 hours on this.
There are, imagine if we talked about all the tie-ins too. There are tie-ins. They're not crucial to the story, but they do add some nice flavoring.
Yeah. I feel like, I know I keep comparing it to Flashpoint, even though Flashpoint came over. I felt like the tie-ins of Flashpoint were more important.
Right.
Because, like, there was so much... There was war between Atlantis and Themyscira and stuff like that. Like, that was just barely mentioned in the main storyline that you had to go and read Wonder Woman and Aquaman for. But it sounds like this one, it's just
it's
like...
Yeah, it's more just context of some things, but no plot moving forward in those outer
tie-ins. It was almost like the creative teams were like, hey, we're telling the story with House of M. Don't write anything that's going to mess up our story.
Right.
That's just what it feels like. Have some fun.
Yeah.
Write a 3 or 4 issue mini arc.
That's basically what it was.
That doesn't need to be, that can be undone and you're not sad about it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. It felt like that. And there's varying levels of, some of them are like, oh, that's solid. And some of them are like, a few issues, I got 10 pages in, I was like, I don't care about this. And I just stopped reading it.
So there wasn't, was there a Fantastic Four tie-in?
There's a, it's a Doom-related thing.
Where you do get to see a little Fantastic Four, but Doom-flavored?
Yes.
Okay.
And, like, the Thing is there, but he's, like, this chain
honestly,
pet.
From knowing literally nothing about any of this stuff, that's, like, the only one I think I'd be curious to read.
Let's see if I can pull up. It's somewhere in here.
We're scrolling through. By the way, all of this is available on Marvel Unlimited. Strongly encourage you to get a subscription for that if you haven't done it already. So, yeah, there is.
Fantastic Four, House of M. Yeah, I read this one. We get, like, Doom monologuing.
Okay.
Like, it's pretty dark as far as, like, the Thing being like this.
Yeah.
You know, Doom gets a hold of him and basically just, like, enslaves him.
Got it.
The Fearsome Four.
Okay. So it's not the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it goes dark side.
Yeah. So, yes, there's technically an FF, and he does. That's why he has the four belt. But it's, you know, we're just kind of seeing what Dr. Doom and his cronies and a tortured Ben Grimm.
Yeah. So that makes you think that they all did actually go up there.
Right.
It's just that
something else happened.
Not everybody survived like before.
Right.
Well, cool. Do you have anything else about this one?
No, I don't think so. I highly recommend checking it out. It's definitely one of the more iconic Marvel events.
In context to our upcoming MCU things, I'm curious if I'm going to see WandaVision and Multiverse of Madness in a different light.
Right.
And also Far From or No Way Home. Mm-hmm. Like all of those, I think they're going to be tinged with the lens of House of M.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see, I guess, spoilers for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, if you haven't seen that. In that movie, we kind of get like maybe Wanda dies.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think she's still alive. I am very curious. We still have like hinted at mutants in a few MCU projects, but haven't had them yet.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like a reverse House of M, like you're all mutants or even if they do want to like get enough mutants to have a no more mutants thing for a while. There's still room to do it. They haven't historically just flat out one-to-one the comics as far as the story goes, but I still think there's time to play with these ideas.
Yeah.
For sure. Cool. Well,
cool. I think we already looked up our trivia, so instead of taking a break, we can just launch right into it. And by the way, we are currently tied 0-0, as is our normal thing.
As is so, usual.
On to lightning round trivia, where the questions are faster than, I feel like it's cheap, but it's right there on the table, where Wanda wiped out
the majority of the mutant population.
I guess we could just say where Wanda practically did what? What
this the, is so fast.
I was going to say, committed genocide is what I was looking for. It was like all but.
Yeah.
So,
when we go first?
Sure.
We saw Lorna, Magneto's other daughter, inside this comic and through other spots. Do you know her superhero name?
Polaris?
That is correct.
Yes.
Point for you. A lot of people don't know that Magneto has multiple children. Yeah.
And she has like metal powers.
Yes. Yeah, she's like Magneto light.
Yeah. I think I feel like I've seen that in the comics, but it's mainly because of Snap.
Yeah.
So, all right. My question, and I have to put a spoiler warning on my question. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to be spoiled, just go to the next episode and assume that I won this trivia.
Yeah, because
the House of M trivia.
Yeah, just assume.
The spoiler I'm giving you, this is like, I was curious. So spoiler, leave if you don't want to know anything about the future of this story. And I'm talking now. The last panel saying, I wonder what happened to the energy.
Yeah.
Well, I Googled House of M trivia and got the answer. So do you know, like, apparently sometime later it was revealed that the collective energy from all the depowered mutants was still out there. And it merged with someone.
Yes.
Do you know that person's name?
If I am recalling correctly, and I could not be, is it Jean Grey in the Phoenix Force?
Well, okay. This I'm according to CBR.com, this doesn't mention her, but I'm assuming that does happen at some point. But I'll just read this.
Okay.
It merged with a postal worker named Michael Pointer. Confused and disoriented, Pointer entered Canada and killed every member of Alpha Flight except for Sasquatch using this collective energy. Pointer eventually learns to control the seemingly limitless energy of the collective, joining the Team Omega Flight.
I'm way off then. For some reason, but I thought...
I feel like, I mean, that totally looked like Phoenix.
I thought that somehow, spoilers, the answer to all this moving forward was that like the Phoenix Force Jean Grey thing brings a lot of the mutants back.
Maybe it does. And maybe, so I'm going to give you half a point because
I'll take it.
I want Jean Grey to be out there. I want Phoenix to be there.
I'm going to give you half a point because I want to win.
Well, there's that too. Yeah. No, I won. It's yeah, a one won. Point. I want a half of a point. But according to CBR.com, you're wrong.
A postal worker. Who'd have thunk?
Michael Pointer. So, but yeah. It does, because that was the specific question was where did the all the missing energy go? That doesn't mean that Jean Grey isn't out there with Uber level powers.
Sure. Cool. That was a fun one. Any closing thoughts?
It's good. Go read it.
Yeah, go read it. Read these comics.
Go read it and then start binging all of the MCU things with us before you get to WandaVision. Multiverse of Madness, No Way Home.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Check out Marvel Unlimited. It's really like one of the best places to get caught up in these comics. If you prefer the physical copies, it's hard to find floppies these days, but your local comic shop can probably point you in the direction of some trades.
Also, check out Backlog Busters YouTube channel for video games. Link is down in our show notes. Thank you for supporting us, Jared.
Yep. Awesome. That's all I got. I guess we will see you next time. Check out the next episode on Alex and Drew Rank the MCU.
That's the wrong button.
We will talk to...
No, that's the wrong button.
I guess we're getting this,
yes. this early. I'm just talking all over this so that you don't hear it. Trying to hit the right button. There's the right button.
We will see you next time. Bye. We'll Two-Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.